Today's daf is Erevin Daf Pei. Today's shiur is sponsored by the Kupfer family, by Dovi and Tova Kupfer, Luzchus Rufur Shalema for Ze'ev Yosef HaKohen ben Miriam Fruma, she should have a Rufur Shalema b'mehera. Today we are going to pick up, we read the Mishnah yesterday about how to make a Shitufei Mavuos, and we started learning all of the different halachos that were said by the Sabi de Pumbedisa. There's some discussion about who the Sabi de Pumbedisa are. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Zayin, identifies the Sabi de Pumbedisa. Rashi identifies them differently over here, so that's a bit of an issue, but we're going through the various halachos that the Sabi de Pumbedisa taught us. So today we're going to discuss the halacha, one of the halachos we mentioned in the Mishnah, is about lifting the food to make the Shitufei Mavuos. So lifting it off as an act of kinyan pashtus. So our daf is going to discuss how it must be lifted off the ground, which types of erev require a formal kinyan, which types maybe don't require a formal kinyan. The Gemara is then going to discuss whether a non-Jew's wife can rent his rights in the chatzar, can do a schirus rishus in order to allow for the Jewish residents to make an erev when the non-Jew himself refuses to participate. Can his wife participate on his behalf? And then the Mishnah on Beis, we're going to start to discuss the food that's needed for the erev of the shituf, how much food you need, and what if it's nismayit ha'ochel, what if some of the food runs out, can you replenish it, what do you need to do when you replenish the food? So that is the discussion of today's daf. So yesterday, I just want to come back to some of the things Sabi de Pumbedisa taught us, because they're all interesting lemaisa. First thing is that we said that when we lift up the eruv, when we lift up the shituf rather, so you magbia tefach. That was the first line. Chavish shel shitufei mavuos sarich lagbia min akarka tefach. So there's a significant discussion in the Rishonim what the purpose of being magbia min akarka tefach is. There are two basic shitos. The majority of Rishonim, Rashi, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Meiri, majority of Rishonim understand that this is a kinyan, that when the balabai is ma'ariv with his own food on behalf of everybody else, so it has to belong to everybody. The only way to make it belong to everybody is by doing a kinyan on behalf of everybody. So you lift it off a tefach as a way of making a kinyan for the rest of the Bnei Amavoy. However, the Gaonim that are quoted by the Rashba, the Ritva, the Meiri, they all quote a Shitas HaGaonim that when you lift up the Chavis, it's not l'kinyan, it's l'heker bialma. It's a way of saying that this Chavis is going to be used, it's different than all the other Chavis. This chavis is going to be used specifically for the sake of the shituf mavuos, and that's the purpose of lifting it up a tefach. The Meiri explains, why do you have to separate it from all the other chavios that he has? So just in case some of the food gets taken from it and it's less than the shear, or if it breaks, that a person should realize that they need to replenish the eruv, that they need to replenish the shituf. So those are the two basic shitos in Rishonim. Is it a kinyan, which is definitely the mashmos of the Gemara, as we're going to see, or is it just a heker? So the main nafkamina, whether it's kinyan or a heker. So the Rishonim have several nafkaminas. One nafkamina they suggest is if you hold that it's mishum kinyan, it turns out that if instead of being mizake your food for everybody else to make a shituf, you go around and actually collect food from everybody, everybody contributes their own little matzah for the Eruv, then it would turn out that it's not necessary to make the kinyan, because it already belongs to everybody, everybody's contributing their own food. But if it's a din in heker that you want to show that this is different than all the other food that we have in this location, so then you would still need to lift it off a tefach to make a heker. Another nafkamina, some of the Achronim point out, is if you hold that it's l'tzorech heker, so it needs to remain separate for the rest of Shabbos. It's not going to help to just lift it up a tefach and put it right back down amongst all the other chavios, because then you're still not going to know which one is the eruv, is the shituf. But if it's a din in kinyan, so you could put it right back to where it was. It's one moment in time. You need to make the kinyan, and then you could put it back. It doesn't have to be designated. It doesn't have to be separate from everything else. So that's a second possible nafkamina. There might be another nafkamina. The Ritva writes that according to the shitos that you lift it up because of kinyan, that you need to be kona so that everyone in the Bnei Mavu, every one of the Bnei Mavu can have a chelik in the eruv. The reason that we do Hagbah and not Meshicha is because Meshicha is not Kona Bereshus HaMocher. Hagbah is Kona anywhere. Wherever you're doing the Hagbah, Hagbah will work. So the Aruch HaShulchan points out in Simon Shin Samach Vav that the Bnei HaMavli could be Mezak in the Eruv even with a Kinyan Sudar, with a Kinyan Agav, meaning this would be a significant Nafkamina. Do you need to do a Kinyan Hagbah Dafka? So if it's about a Heker, you're just showing that this is separate from everything else, so you have to actually lift it up doing a kinyan sudr, handing a handkerchief to somebody, that shouldn't help at all. That in no way differentiates this chavis from every other chavis. But if you hold it's a din in kinyan, so then a kinyan sudr would be just as good, and that's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. Really, you could do a kinyan sudr. Lav dafka that you have to do a kinyan hagbah. So that's the issue in terms of being magbia tefach. Now the Rishonim are also chalek. Whenever you do a kinyan hagbah, there is a discussion in the Rishonim, how high do you need to lift something in order to do a kinyan hagbah? So Shitas Rashi in Ksubas Taf Lamed Aleph in Kiddushin Daf Chavav is that any hagbah always needs lifting three tefachim off the ground. That's the definition of kinyan hagbah. You lift something up three tefachim off the ground. Shitas Rabbi Natam in Tosos, both in Ksubas and in Kiddushin, is that a tefach echad is good enough. There are two primary rayos that Rabbeinu Tam has that one tefach is good enough. One of the primary rayos is from our sugya. The other is from the sugya in Baba Kama Daf Chavtes. But one of the primary rayos from our sugya that it says you're being magbia tefach. So we see that lifting it up, just one tefach is good enough. So what's the how's Rashi going to deal with the raya? So the Rishonim point out that Rashi would say that the din of being konan and eruv is maybe different than all other kinyanim because the whole din of an eruv is only a din to rabbanon. So maybe the chamur more mekel that you don't need a hagbah to the level that you need that you would normally need a hagbah. The Ravid is quoted in the Shittim Gebetz and Maseches Ksubas in another defense for Rashi that it could be that normally for a kinyan you need three tefachim. You need to lift something off three tefachim for a kinyan hagbah. By us, in our case, lifting it up, even just a single tefach would work, because over here you have a das acheres makne. There's someone that's being makne to you. It's not like you found something that's hefker, and you're just being koneh all by yourself without someone helping you out. And we find in halacha that there's a difference between being koneh something yourself and when a das acheres is makne something to you. When a das acheres is makne something to you, for instance, a katan can be koneh when he has a das acheres makne. If you give your lulav to your child can be kona because you're giving it to him. If he finds hefker and he picks it up, meikra din is not kona. Das acheres sort of lowers the standards for making kinyanim. So that is the discussion in terms of whether we have a raya from here about a kinyan tefach. So that's one statement of the Sabi Tepun Bedisa. The second statement the Sabi Tepun Bedisa said was a mekadesh im tam lo lugmav yatzav im lav lo yatzav, that a person who makes kiddush has to taste the malo lugmav of the wine. He has to drink a cheekful of the wine, and if he doesn't drink a cheekful, then he's not yotze. Now there is a machlokas who has to taste a cheekful of the wine. The Gaonim, quoted in the Torah in Simon Reish Ayin Aleph, say that it's the Mekadesh himself. The person who makes Kiddush himself has to be the one to taste it. If he doesn't taste it, everyone else does drink from it, he doesn't, he's not yotze this chiyuv, and he has to make Kiddush again, say the Gaonim. However, the majority of Rishonim hold that even if the Mekadesh himself does not taste it, but someone at the table, someone who heard the Kiddush, is Shose Malo Lugmav, that's enough to be yotze the chiyuv. And the Raya is from the Gemara we had earlier on Daf Mem Amud Beis. It's about a month ago already. We had a Gemara where the Gemara has a Havamina that even though normally Hamavarich Sarach Shiyitom, had it not been for a Chashash Takala on Yom Kippur, you could give a katan to drink from a Koshal Bracha on Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara had such a Havamina, but the Gemara said, no, but we're afraid the child's going to grow up thinking that you're supposed to drink on Yom Kippur, so we don't want to do that. But what do you mean? What's the Havamina? What does it help to give to the child to drink? So Elamai, you see from there that apparently it does help, that apparently someone else who hears the Kiddush is allowed to be the one who drinks. It doesn't have to be the Mekadesh himself. So the Meiri just adds on, from that Gemara it's also Mashma, that it doesn't even have to be an adult, that it could even be a Katan, that a Katan's allowed to drink. So, the Meiri brings that the Yesh Misha Omer, that when a Katan drinks a Koshal Bracha, you're not Yotzei Yechiv over there, it's just so that the Bar Pir Gafen should not be a Bracha Levatala. The Ritva also has another suffix. He says, what if no single person drinks a Malo Lugmav, but all together, everyone drank a Malo Lugmav altogether? Is that good enough? So the Ritva raises that as a suffix. The Rush writes that no, absolutely it does not work. One person has to drink a Malo Lugmav. So how do we pass on all this La'alacha? What do you have to drink when you make Kiddush? Very Nogei Lamaisa. Shulchan Aruch and Reish Ayin Aleph Si'if Yudalit says, L'chadchila, we should be choshesh for the Shitas Haga'onim. Person who makes Kiddush should drink a Malo Lugmav of the wine himself. Mitzvah min HaMuvchar, he should give some to the Mesubim as well. Mitzvah min HaMuvchar, everyone else should drink a little bit as well. That's a mitzvah min hamuvchar. It's not absolutely required. Everyone always tries to deal with how do you deal in Hilchos Nida? When a woman is a Nida, you're not allowed to, not only you're not allowed to hand her wine, you're not allowed to hand her anything, but wine, you're not even allowed to pass in her direction. So what do you do when you make Kiddush? So one simple answer is, so she won't drink from the Kiddush wine. That would be okay. It's a mitzvah min hamuvchar that she drinks from the Kiddush wine. Another rate says, don't pass it in her direction. Just put it down in front of you, and if someone passes it to her, that's fine. So if they know to pass it, or she comes and takes it, that's perfectly fine. But certainly the other mesubim definitely don't need to drink a melo lugmav, as long as the mekadesh himself drinks a melo lugmav. Now, even if he doesn't drink, the Shulchan Aruch says, even if he doesn't drink anything, but one of the mesubim does drink a melo lugmav, then you're still yotze yidei chavaso. One is still yotze. It's not the mitzvah min muvchar, but it's still yotze. And b'diyeved, most of the achronim say that even if no one drinks a shir melo lugmav, but all together they're mitzdariv to melo lugmav, so b'diyeved that's okay also. B'diyeved, if everyone just drinks a little bit and all together it's a shir melo lugmav, that would work as well to fulfill this requirement that someone who's mekadesh has to make a bracha, has to drink a melo lugmav. So then we have the Sabi de Pumbedisa said that you're allowed to, we discussed a little bit about lighting a fire for a birthing mother, and we had a discussion whether that means only for a birthing mother or for any chola as well. Is it only in the wintertime, the summertime as well? So the Gemara seemed to conclude, even though the Rambam seems to read those lines a little differently, the Gemara seemed to conclude any chola, any time, you're allowed to light any chola shiyesh basakana, any time you're allowed to light a fire for the sake of the chola, even if it's summertime. So two lines from the bottom. Amar Amemar, Hanami Sabi Tepumbedisa Amrinu. There's something else the Sabi Tepumbedisa said. De Itmar Ezo Hi Asherestam, what is an Asherah Stam, what do we assume is an Asherah tree, even though we don't see anyone worshipping it? When can we assume that a tree is an Asherah tree? Amarav, Kol Shem Esharsei of the Galilim Shomernosa, Ve'ein Toamin Miperoseha. If you see the people who work for the Avodah Zarah carefully guarding it, and no one is tasting any of its fruits, so then you could know that that's probably an Asherah tree. Shmuel Amar, Kigon Da'amri Hani Tmari L'Shichra De'Bein Netzarfi De'Shasulei B'Yom Chagam. That you hear them saying that these dates are going to be reserved to make the beer that they're going to drink on the Yom Chagam, so then you know that that's an Asherah tree. V'Amrili Sabi D'Pamedisa Hilchsa Kavasei De'Shmuel. And this is another statement of the Sabi D'Pamedisa that we paskin like Shmuel in this case, that we paskin like Shmuel in terms of defining what's an Asherah Stam. So it turns out that Rav and Shmuel disagree. By an Asherah Stam, if you don't know that it's been Ne'evad, when do we assume that it's Ne'evad? This machlokas is quoted in Avodah Zarah as well, as one would expect, on Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph, except the difference is over there, by Rav, in Rav's sheet, it says, Kol shekomrim yoshim tachteha ve'in tam in miperoseha. When the komrim are sitting underneath it, it doesn't say shomernosa, it says yoshim tachteha, and not tasting from its fruits. So the Meiri says Shmuel is more machmir than Rav. Rav holds that an Asherah is not Ne'aseres Bestam unless you see they're actually guarding it and refuse to eat its fruits. Shmuel says even if you just hear them saying something about the fruits of the tree that they want to use it for Avodah Zarah, that's enough to assume that it's an Asherah tree. You don't need to see them physically guarding it. So Shmuel is more machmir than Rav in terms of what we assume is an Asherah tree. That's how the Meiri understands the machlokas. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah Perches Halacha Gimel writes that Ilan Shayu Ovdei Kachavim Meshamrinus Perosav VaOmrim Shemuchanim Laso Sheichel DeBeis Avodas Kachavim Ploni VaOsim En Sheichel VaShosim Laso Biyom Chagam Harei Zeha Ilan Asur Banam Neisha Stamoshu Ashera. Interesting. The Rambam says if you see them guarding it and saying that they want to use the dates for beer, for Avodah Zarah, then you assume it's an Asherah tree. So it's a little bit strange. The Achronim point out, why does he have to mention that the Ilan becomes Asur when they're guarding the fruits? That's Rav. We passing like Shmuel, who's the Sabi Tepumbedisa, passing like Shmuel. So probably the Rambam understood a little differently in the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. The Rav holds the Asherah's only Asur if you see them sitting underneath it constantly, and therefore it looks like they're being oved. And on that, Shmuel disagrees, and he holds the asher is aser, even if they're not always sitting underneath it, but they're just guarding it, and they're just making sure that the fruits are going to be used, l'shem avodah zarah, that alone would be enough. But guarding it is still part of the process. They're guarding it so that the fruits can be used, l'shem avodah zarah. And that's why the Rambam brought that into the halacha. Says the Gemara, fourth line from the top, Mesivei. So we'll ask Akasha, Ketzan Mishtatfin B'mavui. How does one go about making a Shatufi Mavuos? So it said in our Mishnah, it said in the Brisa rather, Mavim Chavish Al Yayin Vishal Shemen Vishal Tamarim Vishal Grogros Vishal Sharmine Peros. You bring a barrel of some type of fruit. Im mishalo tsarich lezakos. If the fruit belongs to you, so you need to make a kinyan on behalf of everybody else. The im mishalahen tsarich lahodia. And if it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to everybody else, you just need to let it be known that you are using this for the Eruv. And if everyone is okay with it, you're allowed to use it for the Eruv. As Rashi points out, if it's your own fruit, you don't even need to be modia anybody, because zach lo ladim shalo b'funav. They have nothing to lose. I mean, you're being mezakid for them that they're going to be able to carry now. So there would be no need to be modia. It's only when it's their own food that you need to be modia. That's Rashi on the fourth line of the page. But then what do we do? And here's the key. Umagbio minakarka mashahu. How much do we lift it off the ground? A mashahu. So this is a kashan, the Sabi de Pumbedisa. The Sabi de Pumbedisa said, how much do you have to lift it up off the ground? A tefach. Over here it says just a mashahu. You lift it off the ground. So my mashu nami to kamar tefach. So you have to say that when we say mashahu, what we really mean is a tefach. It means the smallest known shear for this kind of thing. So that's it. So it means a tefach. Period. Itmar. So which types of, we have all different types of Erevin. We have Eruvei Chatzeros, we have Eruvei Tchumin, we have Shitufei Mavuos. There's even another type of Erev that's not an Erevin topic, it's really a Psachim topic, which is Eruvei Tavshilin. So which types of Erevin require a Kinyan, and which types do not require a Kinyan? It seemed to say in our Mishnah pretty clearly that when it comes to Shitufei Mavuos, you do require a Kinyan. We already learned all the Mishnayos about Eruvei Chatzeros, never said anything about a kinyan in the Eruvei Chatzeros Mishnayos. So which ones do need a kinyan, which ones don't? So Itmar, Shitufei Mavuos, Rav Amar, Ein Tzarech Lezakos, Ushmol Amar Tzarech Lezakos. Rav says Shitufei Mavuos do not need a kinyan, but Eruv Chatzeros do need a kinyan. Very, very strange, because after all, Shmuel says it does need a kinyan, and Shmuel would seem to fit nicely with our Mishnah. Eruvei Tchumen, when it comes to Eruvei Tchumen, sorry, we didn't say about Erev Chatzeros, we have Mishnah about Eruvei Tchumen. Eruvei Tchumen, Rav Amar Tzarech Lezakos, Shmuel Amarein Tzarech Lezakos. When it comes to Eruvei Tchumen, so Rav says you need a kinyan, Shmuel says you don't need a kinyan. And again, the Mishnayis by Eruvei Tchumen never said anything about needing a kinyan. So says the Gemara, Bishlam L'Shmuel, Hacha Tanan V'Hacha Lo Tanan. According to Shmuel, it all works out really well. By Shitufei Mavuos, we have a Mishnah that says you need a Kinyan. By Eruvei Tchumen, there's no Mishnah that says you need a Kinyan. So Shmuel says, good, so Shitufei Mavuos, you need a Kinyan. Eruvei Tchumen, you don't. El Rav my time, but why does Rav flip it? Why does Rav turn it on its head? So says Gemara, Tanayihi. It's Machlokas Tanayim. Rav's not sure that we're going to paskin like our Mishnah. Where do we find a Machlokas Tanayim? Dom Rav Yudom Rav. Maiso Bekalosos Shraboshia. There was a story of the daughter-in-law of Raboshia. Shaholcha Lebeis HaMerchat. She went out to the Beis HaMerchatz to get ready for Shabbos when it was still Friday, the Chashkala, and then it got dark on her early, the Irvala Chamosa. So her mother-in-law made an Eruv to enable her to walk all the way back. She made an Eruv Tchumen on her behalf. And they came to Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya said, no, it's no good. The Eruv Tchumen that her mother-in-law made on her behalf is not going to work. It's not going to allow her to walk back. Amalo Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Bavloi Kolka Chatamachmir Be'erivin. What? You Babylonians are so strict when it comes to Ilchus Erivin? Kachom Rabba, Kol Shieshcha Be'erivin Akel. My tradition is from my father that whenever you could be Makel in Erivin, you should be Makel. V'yibayaluhu. So the Shaila was, what was the problem over there? What was the issue with this Eriv? Mishal Chamosi Irvala, Umishum Delo Zichsala. Was the mother in law using her own food? And the problem was that there was no Kinyin, which would show that you need to make that, at least according to this shita. You need to make a kinyan for an erev tchumin. Al dilma mishala ir v'lo umishum d'shalom idaita. Or maybe no. Maybe she used the daughter-in-law's food, and the problem was the daughter-in-law wasn't informed that it was being used for an erev, and that was the problem. Because if it's her food, she needs to know that it's being used for an erev. You can't say zakhon l'adam shalom b'fanav. So amalena humer rabbanim Rabbi Yaakov Shemei l'didi mefarshi l'minei de Rabbi Yochanan mishal chamosi irvo mishum d'lo zichzala. That the issue was that it was the mother-in-law's food, but the issue was that she didn't make a proper kinyan on behalf of the daughter-in-law, and that's why it didn't work. So you see from there that you do need a kinyan for Erev Tchumen, so it must be that it's a machlokes tanoim. Amr Reb Zera Reb Yaakov, Bred Bas Yaakov, or what does it change it to on the side? Right, Brod Bas Yaakov, not Bred. Ki matis hasam akif vizilu sulama detzur. Said, when you get there, go to the sulama detzur, boy minei Rav Yaakov Baridi, and ask the shayla of Rav Yaakov Baridi. So boy minei, they ask the same question of Rav Yaakov Baridi. What was the issue over here? Mishal chamosa irva, umishum dlo zichzala, odilma mishala irva, umishum dushalami daita. Was the issue that it was the mother-in-law's eruv, and the problem it was the mother-in-law's food, and the problem was that they didn't make a kinyan, or was it her own food, and the problem was that it was shalomi daita? The issue was it was the mother-in-law's food, and they did not make a kinyan. That was the entire problem with the eruv. So this chiluk between a ruve tchumen on the one hand versus a ruve chatzero slash shitufe mavuos, this machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, which one needs a kinyan, which one doesn't need a kinyan, would suggest that they're arguing which one is more chamor than the other. So Tosfos of here in Dibra Maskel Rav says, well, we do find that there are two halachos where a ruve tchumen is more strict than a ruve chatzeros. Number one, we find in terms of the shear of the eruv. When it comes to a ruve tchumen, you need a shear mazon beis suudos for everyone who the eruv is being made for. If you just put out shtei suudos and you want 10 people to rely on it, that's not going to work. You need shtei suudos for each person who the eruv is being made for. When it comes to an eruv chatzeros, the shear we're going to see later in today's daf is a grogros to kalechad ve'echad. Everyone just needs one grogros, and if it's 18 people or more, then you don't need more than beis suudos for everybody all put together. Once you get over 18, you don't even need a grogros to kalechad ve'echad, you just need mazon beis suudos. That's one significant kula. The other kula that we have by Eruve Chatzeros, and we don't have by Eruve Tchumen, is an Erev Al Yidei Cher Shot of a Katan. Eruve Tchumen, you can't do Al Yidei Cher Shot of a Katan. Eruve Chatzeros, you can. So the Marsha is bother. Are those the only two? Don't we have other kulas that we find that Eruve Tchumen are more chamor than Eruve Chatzeros? For instance, he says, Eruve Tchumen, you can only do Litzaruch Mitzvah. As opposed to Eruvei Chatzeros, you don't have to only do Litzaruch Mitzvah. Not only that, Eruvei Tchumen, you can only do Midaito. Eruvei Chatzeros, you could even do Shalom Midaito, as long as you're willing to use your own food. You could do it for somebody else, Shalom Midaito. So aren't those also kulas that we find? Why does Tosfos only mention two, and not these other two? So the Achronim explain that, to answer the Marsha's Kasha, why don't we mention these other two, is that these other two aren't necessarily really, it's not because of a chumrah and a kula. It's because of other reasons that these other two halachos exist. The fact that you can only make an eruv tchumen midas is simply because when you make an eruv tchumen for somebody, it's not a pure zechus for the person. You're buying them a little more space to walk on one side of town, but you're costing them on the other side of the town. When I make an eruv chatzeros for somebody, it's all good for them. Now they could carry. It's either they can't carry, they can carry. So now they can carry, so it's all good. You're making an eruv tchumen for somebody, whatever you're gaining them on one side, you're making them lose on the other side, so it's not as close. We wouldn't say zachon l'adam shlo b'fanav. What about the fact that it's only l'dvar mitzvah? He says, well, that's not a chumrah. The fact that eruvi tchumen is only made l'dvar mitzvah, eruvi chatzeros itself is a mitzvah. So you know what? Eruvi chatzeros is also only l'dvar mitzvah. It's just that built into every eruv chatzeros is a mitzvah because you're supposed to make an eruv chatzeros. So it all is a dvar mitzvah. It's all considered one dvar mitzvah. Just two parenthetical notes over here. One is Rabbi Zera said to Rabbi Yaakov, Brod Bas Yaakov. So he's called by his mother's name, right? He doesn't say the father of Rabbi Yaakov, it says his mother. Because his father wasn't Hagun, and it's not nice to call someone Al Shem his father if his father wasn't an appropriate person, so we don't want to use the father's name. And the Tshuvas Agonim says that the mother of Rabbi Yaakov, it wasn't on account of his father's not deserving to be called by his name, it was on account of the mother being so special. She was chashuva mefor semes ba'ul sodar. She was known in her generation more than her husband. Sometimes you have like that. You have a rabbi, but his rebbetzin, she's the one that's the real name. Everyone knows the rebbetzin. She's the one that's the real talent behind the operation. She's always the real talent behind the operation. Sometimes people know it. Sometimes people don't know it. But that's apparently is not something that's only in the modern day, right? So that's how the Gaonim say that. It wasn't that the father was so bad, it's just that the mother, she was so famous. You have certain Gedolim that were known by their mother's name, not by the father's. Rabbi Yoel Sirkis, the Bach, is called by his mother. Sirkis, his mother's name was Sarah. So he went by the name Sirkis. That's he took his mother's last name, Shachta likes to say. But he didn't, there was no last name, that he was called by the mother's name. So sometimes they would do like that. Another parenthetical point that I found interesting over here, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, you see from our Gemara, an unbelievable thing, that not every time you have a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law do they hate each other. Only most of the time. And he says, like, he's trying to be, because over here the mother-in-law was trying to help the daughter-in-law out. Nebuch, she was stuck outside by the Merchatz, by the base of Merchatz, and the mother-in-law wanted to make it easy for the daughter-in-law to come back. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, my hi, what's going on over here that the mother-in-law doesn't hate the daughter-in-law? So he says, it must be that they didn't live near each other. That must be the teretz. That when they live in very close proximity to each other, then they have no chance. You're stealing my son, you're taking that, then it's not going to be good. But if they live far away from each other and they're not on each other's toes too much, so then it's more likely that they'll get along. And that's why the Rambam writes in the 13th parak of Hilchos Ishus that if a girl says that I don't want your mother or your sisters to live with us in our house or to live in the same chatzar as us, I want to live in a different neighborhood, so shomenla, you listen to your wife and you move away somewhere further away, because sometimes that's better for the shalom between the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law as well. He discusses this in the context of ne'emanus, to say Meis Baila. It's one of the women, there are five women that the Mishnah assumes have a bad relationship, and therefore they're not ne'emanos to say that a woman's husband died, because we assume that they're just trying to ruin their lives. So they'll say the husband died, then the woman will get remarried, then the husband will come home, and then Teitze Mizev, Mizev, Kala Drachem Eilu, but life is going to be miserable for them. Children are going to be mamzerim. So the one of them is the mother-in-law. So he says, we apply that halacha even if they live far away from each other, because it's possible to hate each other even if they live far away from each other. It's just more likely that they'll hate each other if they live very close to each other. Okay, that's Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Amar of Nachman, Naktinan, about four lines into the wide lines. Amar of Nachman, Naktinan, Echad Eruvi Tchumen, Vechad Eruvi Chatzeros, Vechad Shitufei Mavuos, Tzarech Lezakos. How do we pashkin? What kind of Eruv needs a kinyan? Eruvi Tchumen, Eruvi Chatzeros, Shitufei Mavuos, they all need a kinyan. By Rav Nachman, Eruvei Tavshilin Tzarech Lezakos, or Ein Tzarech Lezakos? What about Eruvei Tavshilin? Do you need to make a kinyan when you're making an Eruv Tavshilin before Yontif that goes into a Shabbos? So Amar Rav Yosef, Umayti Ba'ilei, Lo Shmilei, Hadam Rav Nachman Bar Ravado, Amar Shmuel, Eruvei Tavshilin Tzarech Lezakos? Why is he asking this as a question? Did he not know what we said, that Shmuel paskind, that you do need a kinyan? Amalei Abai Pshitat Lo Shmilei. Obviously, he did not know. He'd never heard this from Shmuel. Di Shmilei, Mighty Ba'ilei, because had he heard it, then he never would have asked this as a shayla. It would have been obvious. What do you mean it's so obvious that he didn't hear this from Shmuel? Because if he would have heard it from Shmuel, he for sure would have conformed to what Shmuel said. He didn't conform to what Shmuel says about Eruvei Tchumen. Shmuel holds by Eruvei Tchumen you don't need a kinyan, and Rav Nachman says you do need a kinyan. So don't be so sure that he never heard of what Shmuel said by Eruvei Tavshilin just because he paskined, he wasn't sure, and Shmuel paskined one way. So says Gemara, no, this is different. Hachi hashta, it's a bad comparison. Bishlam hasam pligi ravu Shmuel, by the case of Eruvei Tchumen, there's a machlokas, there's a known machlokas amarayim. So v'kamash v'lam, k'chumrin demar, v'chumrin demar. So he wants to tell me to follow the chumras of both shitos. Aval hachi yisid Shmuelay miika demand the palit. But over here, if he would have known about this, would anyone disagree? Meaning there is no one who disagrees. So of course Rav Nachman would have conformed to Shmuel's shita, if only he would have known about it. What are the stadim of the suffix, whether Eruvei Tavshilin requires a kinyan, doesn't require a kinyan? So in the She'iltos Rav Chaigon in Parshas Beshalach, he explains that the stadim of the suffix are, do we say that since Eruvei Tavshilin, we find that that you don't need to make an Eruv for every single person, a separate Eruv for every single person who's going to rely on it. It's enough to have one kezayis for everybody, everyone's yotze with the same Eruv. In fact, the Rav Ha'ir typically makes an Eruv for everybody in the city, and that can be relied upon b'shas hadchak. So one eruv works for everybody. So maybe l'gabi zikwe the din is that you don't need to be mezaka the eruv for everybody, the eruv, because everyone is somech on this eruv. Or maybe the you need them to have a chelik in the eruv, even though there's no shir l'kol echad ve'echad. So the Nitziv just explains in the Hamik Shela that he's trying to explain Rav Nachman Safek by Ravit of Shilin more than the other Eruvin, more than by other Eruvin, where he passes Bipshitos, that of course you need a Kinyan. And he says, and the Shiltos is highlighting what's different about Eruvit of Shilin. What's different is that there's a special din only by Eruvit of Shilin that one Kazayas works for everybody. So therefore, there's a tzad to say that you don't need to be Mazaka for everybody who's participating in the Eruv. Vaiter in the Gemara, Huter Zina, Tava Bishuvusid Rabbi Zera. There was an arms watchman in the neighborhood of Rabbi Zera, someone whose job it was to watch over the weaponry in Rabbi Zera's neighborhood. Amalei Ogerlan Rishusach, and he was a non-Jew. So Amalei Ogerlan Rishusach. So they said, do us a favor, let us rent out your Rishus, because that's what you need to do. When there's a non-Jew that lives in the neighborhood, you need to do a Schiris Rishus. So Lo Ogerlahu, he wouldn't do it. He refused to participate. So also Kamed Rabbi Zera, Amalei Ma'al Megar Midbitu. So they went to Rabbi Zera and they said, okay, can we rent it from his wife? So Amalei, because his wife is willing to participate. So Amalei, Achli Amrei Shalach, Shmei Degav Rabba, Umanu Rabbi Chanina, Ishto Shalach. Well, we know, had this been a Jew and we needed the participation in an Eruv, we'd allow the wife to participate on behalf of the Jewish husband in the Eruv. So by a non-Jew, Mestama, it's the same. That we need a Schirus from the non-Jew, Mestama, the wife can do the Schirus on behalf of her husband. There was another story, very similar story, same profession in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Oshia. I guess these arms watchmen were tough people and they didn't like to join in the schirus. So they said, please rent us the rishus. Lo ogrelu, and he refused. Also kamed Rabbi Yehuda Bar Oshia. So they asked Rabbi Yehuda Bar Oshia, the Maradasra, Armilei ma'ul meger midbitu. Can we rent out the rishus from his wife? Lo avabiyadeh, he wasn't sure. Asul kamed Rav Masna, lo avabiyadeh. They went, they asked Rav Masna, he didn't know either. Asul kamed Rav, it's okay not to know sometimes, right? It's okay to go up the ladder sometimes and ask greater gedolim. Asul kamed Rav Yehuda, amalu halchi amar Shmuel, ishto shalad ma'arevet shalom idaito. That he said, well, we know by Eruvin it works. You could do in the Erev Aliday, a person's wife. So, Mestama, you could do, probably what he's answering was, Mestama, you could do the same thing when it comes to a Schirus Rishus. So, Frekli Gemara, Meisvei, Nashim She'irvu, V'nishtatfu, Shalomi Das Be'lein, Eini Ruvan Erev, Ein Shitu Van Shituf. But wait a second, we have a Brisa that says explicitly that women who participate in an Erev or a Shituf without their husband's Das, it does not work. So how can we keep saying it does work, and therefore Mestama works by the as well, lo kasha, hada asar, hada lo asar. No, the difference is, it depends whether we need them for everybody else to be allowed to carry in the chatzar or the mavud. If we need their participation in order for everyone else to be able to carry, then we're allowed to, the women are allowed to do it shalom midas baleihen. Then we're going to rely on the women participating even without their husband. But sometimes the rest of the mavud is going to be mutter anyway. Rashi says, for example, you have a chatzar shebein shnei mavuos. You have a chatzar that's borders on two separate mavuos, uregila imze velo imze. And it normally goes through one mavoi and not through the other mavoi. So it really doesn't aser on the mavoi that it doesn't normally go through. You want to be able to include them together in your shituvei mavuos, just in case, but really they, or just to allow them to carry in the mavoi, but really they're not going to aser on the b'nei ha-mavoi. So in that case, we're not going to rely on the wife's participation. In that case, we're going to need the husband to want to participate himself. There is a discussion in the Shvus Yaakov. Shvus Yaakov has a tshuva about a person who is Rachman al-Tzlan, married to a non-Jew, and the guy otherwise is Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. Other than the fact that he's married to a shiksa, everything else is perfectly normal. He's Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. And they wanted to know, what about the chametz that his wife owns on over Pesach? Is it a problem of chametz shavar lav Pesach? She's not Jewish, so and he is Jewish. So to what degree do we assume masha kani isha kana baila, that whatever the wife owns, the husband owns? So the Shvus Yaakov discusses. He says misvara. He says the chametz should be asur chametz shavar lav Pesach because masha kani isha kana baila. He says, I don't tell me. What do you mean masha kani isha kana baila? They're not married. There is no kiddushin between a Jew and a non-Jew. He says no. Don't tell me that. That there's. He says it's true. There's no kiddushin. kiddushin, but that doesn't affect this halacha. The halacha of mashkansi shekana baila is the convention of two people living together ki'ilu, their husband and wife. And you even have by b'nei noach, you have like this. If b'nei noach are married to each other, we recognize that marriage legabe certain halachas in dinei mamonos. We recognize that marriage when it comes to a variety of halachas. So maybe over here as well, says the Shlus Yaakov, even though over here it's be'isser, it's not just stam that the marriage doesn't work. The whole thing is be'isser, but maybe legabe the dinei mamonos, mashkan siyisha kanabayla, it would still be enough. So hachinam misaver, says Gemara Vayter, hachinam misaver dim kein kosher d'shmuel ad'shmuel. We have to make this chilek between when they aser and when they don't aser, because otherwise we'd have a stira within Shmuel. Damer Shmuel, echu b'nei mavoi sharagul ishtatev in b'nei mavoi v'lo nishtatev b'nei mavoi nechnasen l'toch beso v'notn shitufon mimenu bal karcho. If one of the b'nei mavoi is always in the habit of participating in the shitufim of wuls, and then one week he decides he wants to spite everybody, he's not going to be mishtatev, Rashi says, miskavein lesar aleihen, it's not stam, he forgot. He wants to show them he's not going to be mishtatev this week. So they can go into his house and notn shitufon mimenu bal karcho, and they could take it against his will. So ragil in shalo ragilo shmamina. So you see that it's only because he's ragil, which means why is he ragil to always participate? Because otherwise he assers in everybody else in the mavui. So in that case, you don't need his das. It's not necessary to have his approval. But typically, you're going to need his approval. So wait a second. Do you need his wife's approval? We don't need his approval. But all the stories we told before was that the wife was participating without him. So this is a discussion in the Rishonim. When you're the Erev is going to work, Shalom Idaito, does it work without anybody? Does it work without anybody's approval? Or do you at least need the approval of his wife in order to participate in the Erev? It sounds like over here that you're getting nobody's approval. You're going in completely Shalom Idaito. You're going in taking everything straight from his house. So this is a discussion in the Rishonim. Some of the Rishonim say the Erev doesn't work unless if there's no Das at all. And Shmuel was talking that B'nei Mavui must have gone in and take a Bal Karcho was Bal Karcho Shal Balabais. But the woman was there happily giving them the food to participate in the Erev. Other Rishonim aren't so sure. So the Rashba raises a kasha. He says, it sounds from the Rashba that it works even if you don't have any das at all. Because the Rashba says that Shmuel says that if it was regularly shtatif with the B'nai Mavoi and they can go into the house and take the Erev Bal Karcho, he says, I don't understand. What's Shmuel's big chiddush in the first Memra that Ishto Shaladim Arev Shalomi Daito? You don't need any das. You're allowed to go take Bal Karcho. So what's the big chiddush that Shmuel says that Ishto Shaladim Arev Shalomi Daito? You can take it from him without anybody's das. So you see, the Rashba thinks that you don't need anybody's das. The Rashba thinks that Shmuel saying, over here that the wife doesn't have to participate at all. You could mamish go take shalomi daito. That's what it sounds like. So says the Gemara, bottom line of Peyam and Aleph. Lema misayele. Kofno so lasos lechi v'kor lemavui. That we, maybe this is a raya, that you're allowed to force a person to participate in contributing toward the lechi or kara that's going to be matir, the mavui. So says the Gemara, no, not a raya at all. Shiny hasam, the lechi mechitzos. No, in that case, it's different because there are no mechitzos, meaning it's a mavui that's completely exposed and it's not guarded at all. So you could be kofen also to help build a wall around the mavui. Something physical. It's something physical. It's not just something halachic. So that you could be kofa. The next three or four words, however you want to say it, you'll never see so many Alephs right next to each other in the Gemara. Everyone has trouble with what these words mean. So in the Mesorah Shas, says Sholosh Tevos Alolim Sholulei Avana L'Maod. We don't understand what they're talking about. The Bach takes out these words. We're not clear exactly what those words are about. So we will trust the Bach and skip straight to Itmar. Itmar, Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi Amar Osun Lechi Ashera, Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar Osun Kora Ashera. Can you make a Lechi or a Kora that's Matir Mavoi with an Ashera tree? So Mandi Amar Kora Kol Shekin Lechi, Mandi Amar Lechi Avel Kora Lo. The one that says that you're allowed to make, you're allowed to use Ashera wood to make a Kora, so for sure you're allowed to make the Lechi at the opening of a Mavoi with an Ashera tree. The one that says you're allowed to make a Lechi will say no, but not a Kora. Why? Kitusei Mechta Shiure, because there's a shear that's needed for the Kora, and it's Kitusei Mechta Shiure when, since it's Asir Ba'ana, we view it as if it's chopped up into a million different pieces, and therefore you don't have the full necessary shear to have a proper Kora. So the Rishonim again are all bothered over here. By Lechi, there's also a shear. A Lechi could be as thin as you want it to be, but it's got to be 10 tefachim high. So why don't we say Kitusei Mechta Shiure by a Lechi? We only say Kitusei Mechta Shiure by a Kora. So Tosus over here in Dibra Maskal Aval deals with that issue, and he says that maybe the shear of a lechi, since it's such a shear katan, the chum were makel to be makshir, even if it's made out of an ashera, and we're not worried about ketusa matzashir because it's such a tiny shear. Then Tos says in the name of Rabbi Avram that by a lechi there's no problem with ketusa matzashir, right? Because what does ketusa matzashir mean? It means that you view it as if it's chopped up into a million pieces. Lu yitzir, that it actually were chopped up into a million pieces, and we're all just standing in that spot by the opening of the mavoi, it would still be a good lechi. As opposed to by a korah, it wouldn't work. If a korah were chopped up into a million pieces, it wouldn't work because it needs to be chazak uvriya. It needs to be strong to be able to support the weight of a brick, and it's not going to be able to do that if it were actually chopped up into a million pieces. So that's the... And there are many other terutzim in the Rishonim. Why would you say kitzusa matzashirim more by one than we would by the other? A lot more to say, but let's see. Let's try to get to the next Mishnah. So it says the Mishnah: Nismai to ochel mosav umezakeh ve'in tzarech lo'odia. If sometime the food that you were relying on for the shituvei mavuos was nismait, someone decided that they want to participate, they want to take their food, they're right, and they have every right to. They're allowed to take their food. You're not allowed to stop them. So now you have less food than you had before. So most of them mezaki, you could add more food and be mezakid for everybody. Vein tzarech lodia, you don't have to let everybody know that you're being mezaka food for them. Nitosva alehen, what if new people move in that you were not mezaka for beforehand? So most of them mezaka v'tzarech lodia. So then you could add more food, but you have to let them know that that they're participating. You have to let the new diurin know that you're making the eruv for them as well. The minhag, the Rishonim point out, many of the Rishonim, the Rashba, the Ritva, they all point out that the minhag is that we make an Erev at the beginning of the year for all the Shabbosos Hashana, and it works for all the Bnei Ya'ir, even the people that come in later on. We don't add to the box of matzahs. We have the box of matzahs up there over the bookshelf in the shul, and we don't add anything when new people move in. Baruch Hashem, a lot of new people moved in, we didn't add any matzahs. So the Rishonim point out that we're allowed to rely on this for an Erev to be mezakeh for the people who will move in. Meiri says, even though it's Ke'ein Maknadav, it's ki'ilu, you're being makned something to someone who's not yet there, who's not yet baliyolam. He's baliyolam, he's not yet here, because he hasn't yet lived, he doesn't yet live in the city. But be'erev ki'ilu, this is one of the kulas of erevin that we rely on. So kamu hu shiuran, so what is the shir? How much do you need? How much food do you need for the erev? So bizman shem rubin mazon shtei sudos lekulam. When there's a lot of people, so then you only need two meals worth for everybody who's participating. Bizman shem what in kugro. When it's a smaller amount of people, then everyone gets a share of a grogros. That's when you're first making the eruv. But if you had the proper shear to begin with, and then the eruv was diminished, so then a kol shu is enough. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. The whole purpose of eruv chatzeros, when you already have a shitufei mavuos to rely on, is shalol shakechas. The children should remember that there's such a concept called Eruvei Chatzeros. So says Gemara, let's try to understand each line of this Mishnah. B'mayaskinan, what exactly is the case over here? Ilema b'min echad, mayir nismait, afilu kalanami. If there's only one min of food that was diminished, that you're replacing with the same type of food, then even if it was totally gone, even if it wasn't just diminished, it was all gone, you would be allowed to replace it without letting anybody know. So maybe you're using a different type of food. Well, then afilu nismait namilo. Then you wouldn't be allowed to replace it even if it was nismait without letting people know. D'tanya, we have a braisa. Kala ha'ochel mi min echad ein tzarech lo'odia. Mi beiz minim tzarech lo'odia. If it's one min, if it's the same min, you don't have to let people know. If it's beiz minim, then you do have to let people know. So says Gemara, iba yisei min echad v'iba yisei mishnei minim. We can understand the Mishnah in two ways. Iba yisei min echad, we can understand the Mishnah that you're replacing with the same type of food. Mai nismait nismat mate. When we say nismait, it means it's all gone. V'ibay say mishnei minin and kala shiny. Or we could say it's talking about shnei minin, but it's only when it's kala that you're going to need everybody. It's only when it's all gone that you're going to need to be modia. Otherwise, you won't need to be modia anybody. Nitosva alei and mosifu mazaka. So then new people move in, so we're mosifu mazaka. Amar of shizvi, amar of chisla, zoso meres, chalukan lov chaver of al Rabbi Yehuda. You see from here that Rabbi Yehuda's chaverim are cholik on him. Ditnan, amar Rabbi Yehuda, ba medvar mamurim be ruve tchumin. Aval bo Eruvei Chatzeros Ma'arvin Bein Ladas Bein Shelo Ladas. That this whole discussion is by Eruvei Tchumin, but Eruvei Chatzeros you could be Ma'ariv both Ladas or Shelo Ladas. So you see that the other Tanaim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. It says Mar Pshita Dechalukin. Anyone could see that. You open your eyes and you see that they argue. What's the grand statement that Rav Shizbi Amar Rav Chista has to tell me that they all disagree? So no, Ma'ud Teima Ani Mili B'Chatzer Shebein Shnei Mavuol Savul Chatzer Shel Mavuy Echad Emolo. Kamash Malan. I might have thought that's only when it comes to a chatzer that's between two mavuos, but when it comes to a chatzer that belongs in a single mavu, I might think not so. So that's why kamash malan. Kamu hushiro. So how much food do we need? So we said if there's merubin, if there's a lot of people, then you need mazon shtei sudos. Kamu hu merubin. How much is a lot? So I'm Rav Yehuda Shmuel Shmona Esrei Bnei Adam. 18 people is a lot. Shmona Esrei Vesulo, and what, 19 people isn't a lot? It's only 18 people that's a lot. 20 people's not a lot. Se'ema Mishmona Esrei Ve'elach. No, it means 18 plus. 18 and more is considered a lot. And therefore, two sudos would be enough. Where do we get the number 18? Some Rav Yitzchak prayed Rav Yudel didim farsh the minei daaba kol shilu machalkol the mazon shtei suudos peinayan ve'ein maga as grogros the kolechad ve'echad hein merubin. If you were to try to divide it evenly amongst the people and everyone would get less than a share of a grogros, that's considered merubin v'sagi b'mazon shtei suudos. And then we would say, you know what, shtei suudos works for everybody, even though if you were to divide it, they're each going to get less than the proper shear. V'ilom. But otherwise, it would still be considered a smaller amount of people. And va'agavurche kamash malan d'shtei sudos having shmonasre grogros. And once it's we see derech agav, the Mishnah is teaching me what a shear of shtei sudos is. That it's shmonasre grogros. This is one of the sugyas from which we can start to derive what a shear kazayas is. Based on, okay, maybe we'll discuss that starting tomorrow. We'll discuss shear kazayas. Oh, yeah.